scripture lesson today is from Leviticus, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, and 15 through 18. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the Israelites, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among young people or your people, and you shall not stand by idly by you not got it. You shall not stand idly by when the blood of your neighbor is at stake. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor to yourself as yourself. I am the Lord."
Reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. When the Pharisees heard that he, Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, an expert in the law, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare ask him any more questions. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. If any of you have ever had a monotonous job or monotonous moments on your job, I'm seeing some faces. I think you can identify. I mean, sometimes you work really hard, but then sometimes there's just a lull time where nothing seems to be happening. In the book Rivethead by Ben Hamper, he wrote about watching his father on Take Your Son to Work Day. He went to the factory in Detroit and watched his father put windshields on the cars using this octopus-like suction cup apparatus to put on the windshield. And he said, "The pattern never changed. Car, windshield. Car, windshield. Drudgery piled atop drudgery. Cigarette to cigarette. Decades rolling through the rafters, bones turning to dust, stubborn clocks gagging down flesh, another windshield, another cigarette, wars blinking on and off, thunderstorms muttering the alphabet, crows on power lines, asleep or dead, that mechanical octopus squirming against nothing, nothing, nothingness. I wanted to shout to my father, 'Do something else!' Car, windshield. Car, windshield." And I know what that's like. When I worked at the factory, my friend Vinny was a master at breaking the monotony. He was a good worker, but he was also very skilled at making time pass more quickly. As the line rolled on, as we were repetitiously placing our product, standing across the conveyor belt from our coworkers, he'd invent conversations and games that kept everybody laughing. And the bosses looked the other way at all the laughter that was going on because they just wanted the product placed and they didn't care whether we were laughing or not. In fact, I've never worked in an environment where people laughed more than we did then, as miserable as we were. One day, Vinny's game was one-hit wonders. You know, the pop groups that have one song that makes it big, and then you never hear from them again. Well, he knew them. He had an encyclopedic knowledge of all the groups and their names. And he'd say the name of the song in the game of one-hit wonders. He'd say the name of the song, and we'd have to guess who the artist was. Or he'd say the name of the artist, and we'd have to guess what the song was. For example, he'd say 99 Luft Balloons until somebody said Nina. Or Matthew Wilder, and somebody'd say, ain't nothing gonna break my stride. Nobody gonna slow me down. She blinded me with science. Science! Thomas Dolby. I actually own that EP. I was pretty good at guessing these. This was my era. I've never had a time in college. I was in college then. I've never had a time where I listened to the radio as much as I did then. And at one point, Vinny grinned. He had a devilish look on his face. And he said, Kajagoogoo. Nobody got it, but I finally spoke up. You're too shy, shy, hush, hush, eye to eye. You're too shy, shy, yeah. My answer wiped the grin off Vinny's face. That was my stumper, he exclaimed. Apparently, no one had ever gotten that one before. He could always win the game by saying Kajagoogoo, but not that day. And for the rest of the shift, whenever he encountered me, we rotated places through the line, but he'd run into me at breaks and stuff. He'd look at me, he'd shake his head and say, that was my stumper. In today's New Testament passage, the Pharisees are playing a game with Jesus, not to break the monotony. No, in fact, this game had real life and death consequences. If Jesus answered incorrectly, they would kill him. If he answered correctly, they would not kill him until later. And Jesus saw the game they were playing, and he knew full well what they were trying to do. And he decided to produce the stumper. The question they asked was, Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And when you think about that, that's quite a question, isn't it? I think they thought that was their stumper. In Bible Club, I've been here at the church, we have read the Bible all the way through 3 times. And there are just so many laws in the Old Testament. Someone took the time to count them. I mean, you know about the Ten Commandments, although I challenge anybody in this room to walk up to me afterwards without consulting Google or the Bible and rattle off all 10 of them. I challenge you. Maybe I'll give you a statue if you do that. But beyond the 10, there's other commandments, you know. Someone took the time to count them. There's 613 different commandments in the Old Testament. That's a lot to keep track of. And so when they're asking him which commandment is the greatest, he has to go through his mind, all 613 of them, and decide which one of them is the greatest. The odds are in the Pharisees' favor. He only has a 1 in 613 chance of getting it right. And that's why this was probably, they thought, their stumper. And they thought, we've got him. This time, we've got him. But Jesus said, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And this is true. And if you look at the Ten Commandments carefully, if you just consider what they're saying, it's really, they're both, all ten of them address one of these two other commandments. The commandment is either about loving God or loving others, how you treat others. And there's kind of a third unwritten corollary there. Love yourself. Love others as yourself. So in other words, you have to love yourself as you love others. This is why the Sabbath exists. The Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath, because God wants us to love ourselves and take a day off and rest. And what Jesus has just done in just his answer to what they thought was their stumper was like something like a summary paragraph in a PhD thesis, like a good scholar would. Jesus studied all 613 commandments and boiled them down and reduced them until there was just two left, maybe three. Love God, love others, love yourself. And if you were like going to hang a painting, you would hang it with a certain number of things. You'd want a good sturdy wall. You'd want a good nail with a hanger. You'd want maybe some kind of wire, durable wire, to hang the painting. You'd need all these ingredients, all of these pieces to hang it. And he says, upon these two commandments, love God and love others as yourself, hang all the law and the prophets. All 613 hang on those two. Love God, love people, love yourself. They tried to stump him, and then later he stumps them. He gives them kajagoogoo. If David is the ancestor of the Messiah, why does he call the Messiah Lord? Well, let me unpack that just a little bit. He's speaking to a culture that venerated its ancestors. Ancestors were always greater than the descendants. It's even in the word descendants, like you've descended down from them. They're the great ones. We're the lesser ones. We venerate our ancestors. A father would never call his son Lord, much less a grandfather call his son Lord, or even someone lower down the chain of descendants. And I would say that the Pharisees worshiped their ancestors. They always talked about themselves. We're the children of Abraham. We're the children of Isaac. To ennoble themselves. But people aren't on this earth to worship their ancestors. You know, I'm somebody who loves history. And I wrote a paper once, and they said, beware of, the teacher replied, beware of ancestor worship. It's a good point. I mean, they all had their cross to bear. They all had their struggles. They all had their ups and downs. Jesus would be saying, don't worship your ancestors. Worship God, who created them and created you, who stands over and above any person who lives or ever lived. God, who is yesterday, today, and forever, but says, behold, I'm making all things new. And King David knew that. David knew that the Messiah, even though it would be his descendant, the Messiah would deserve the term Lord. And this was more than the Pharisees could handle. This was the stumper for them. Mind blown. I can't handle it anymore. I can't ask this guy any more questions. I can't try to trip him up anymore. He has given us the stumper. And it's more than just a stumper. We have to unpack what Jesus said, just in case we missed it. Jesus is insinuating not only that there would be a Messiah, but that he's it. And that David calls him Lord, even though David was born hundreds of years before Jesus. And Jesus is saying, don't worship your ancestors, open your hearts and worship God, who is over and above every person, no matter how great. And so we ask ourselves, who do we worship? Who is our Lord? What do we worship? And for me, I aspire and pray and want it to be Jesus, who was born after David, but is Lord over him. And I was born later, but I want him to be Lord over me. Who do you worship? And who is your Lord?